Hey, good afternoon. Let's see. So bureaucratically, on Monday, there's a holiday, MLK Day. So there'll be no lecture. So Monday, no lecture. And also the homework that I will assign today will be due on Wednesday. So homework's only due on lecture days. No lecture. And the next homework is due Wednesday, not Monday. Okay. All right. Let's see. So I guess if there are no questions, my plan for today is to continue with this sections 1.4 through 1.7 that are really the core of the course, techniques of proofs. And we'll continue basically with some more examples. And one of the things that I want to emphasize this time is one of the things that one can often do with proofs is kind of build up a structure. And so once you have one theorem, then you can just cite it in your later theorem. So that's often useful. And I'll try to do that today. And so as a so let me just remind you of one of the theorems we already proved that we will have as at our disposal to use for new ones. And so let me just recall an old claim that we already proved. Let me number them today. Let me call it claim one, just so that I can refer to it throughout the lecture. And so that's the one that said that if we have an integer a, so if a is an integer, and its square is even, then a itself is even. A squared is even. Then A is even. And proof was earlier. Okay, so we already have that one. And then I want to go back to the claim that I was right at the end of last time and give a proof of that. So a claim, so this is also one that was written down last time, but we didn't complete the proof. And so I'd like to do that. And that one is, that if a is an integer again, then we have that 4 does not divide 8 squared minus 2. Okay, and let me just remind you again, let me plug section 1.7. You might reread that if you haven't already. Read often. So this is the basic techniques of proof and the stylistic points for proofs. It's very handy. And it had these four steps for getting started on a proof. So let me recall what those were for claim two, getting started. So first of all, we were supposed to understand the proof and the way that the statement rather, and what I often like to do for that is to run through some examples, which we did before. And so I'll just remind you very quickly what those were. So if we had something like, if we take a equals 6, then 6 squared minus 2 is equal to 34, which is 2 times 17, which is not a multiple of 4. And that's what we expect, okay? That's what our theorem is telling us, is that whatever we plug in, it's not going to be a multiple of 4. So that's good. All right. And then the more interesting aspect, I mean, it's actually very important to understand it. Okay. If you don't understand it, then you're going to mess it up. Once you understand it, then it's important to figure out the logic. Okay. And so let's work now through the logic again. And let me just remind you, let's say that, let's take P to be the proposition that 4 divides a squared minus 2. And so then the structure of this statement is for every integer, we have not p, right? So that's another way to write this structure. Does that make sense, everyone? So that's it. Okay, and we mentioned that last time. And now I want to advertise a different way to do this, which is by contradiction. So, or for contradiction, equivalently, I want to say that not whatever I had above, so for all A in Z, not P, and I want to put a not out in front of all of that, that should then imply the false. But the nicest way to get false out is to have some Q and also not Q, okay? So this is false. And this is for some proposition Q, and we get to still get to choose Q. Okay, so that's going to be the structure. Okay, and let me see. So what about this beginning part here? What's another way to write that? If I run the not through that sentence, then what do I get? So first thing, what happens to my quantifier?
It becomes the existential.
Exactly, it switches to the existential. So now we have, and there exists A. Oops, let me not put it right up, abut it against that equal Q. So there exists A in Z. Okay, and then the not gives us so that's what we want here. And so equivalently, we're gonna get that implying Q and not Q. Okay, so that's what we're gonna do. All right, and so then the last thing to do is the, I'm sorry, I guess there are two more things to do. So the next thing to do is what are we assuming? And what are we trying to conclude? And again, I want to use this logical structure for my proof. All right, so so let me, so we will assume there is some integer A with four dividing A squared minus two, or in other words, another integer, let me write it this way, there exists a T, an integer, with four T equals A squared minus two, right? So that's gonna be my assumption. And then my conclusion is gonna be Q and not Q, and I still have to decide on, I still haven't, chosen Q. Okay, so the usual place to choose Q is once I start running through my ideas, I'm going to run into some Q that I can show is both true and false. Okay, so that's the last step here is the ideas. Okay, and so if we just start playing around with what we have here, so if we have the 4t is equal to a squared minus 2, then, and I'm keeping in the back of my mind this claim that I already had here, right? That if I have the square is even, then I know the original one is even. Okay, so actually, can anyone see, is there something I can do to manipulate this a little bit to tell me something about a squared?
Maybe you could substitute in 2k.
Mm-hmm. I can. And let me just explain one intermediate step that allows me to do that. So this tells me that if I push everything to the other side, I get 4t minus 2, which is the same as 2 times 2t minus 1. That's my left-hand side. Is equal to a squared. So a squared is even. And so now I can use claim one. A is even, and then exactly as you say, I can substitute in, right? So there is S with 2S equals A, okay? So I can go through that work, and that'll show me that A is even, and so I can do that. And so then, exactly as you suggest, I can plug that in, and I get 4T is equal to 2S squared minus 2. And multiplying that out, that's 4S squared minus 2. And so I can now it's looking suspicious, right? Because I have this 4 times something here and this 4 times something here and just a 2 there, right? So it's so that's suspicious, right? How am I going to get 2 from a multiple of 4, right?
Professor?
Mm-hmm.
Someone pointed out that it should have been 4t plus 2 on the left side, not 4t minus 2.
You're exactly correct, and I now see it in the chat. I should have been watching, and let me fix it. Correct. So that's 4t plus 2, and that also is, let's see. I guess that's the only place I made it, right? Yeah, okay, right, thank you. All right. Okay, and so then, so now I'm in this suspicious situation where I have 4 times something, 4 times something, and just 2, and there's no way I'm gonna be able to do that. But to make that really clean, I'm going to put this 2 on one side, the 4 is on the other side, and then divide by 2, and it's gonna make it really clear that I can get my contradiction. So if I put the 2 over here, I get 2 is equal to 4 times s squared minus 4 times t, right, like so. And dividing both sides by 2, I get 1 is equal to 2 times s squared minus t. And s squared minus t is going to be an integer, right, which I can see because the s and the t were. So I get that 1 is even. Okay, but I know that 1 is not even. So now I found it. Okay, so I found my Q. So this is going to be Q, right? Because I managed to prove Q, and I also managed to prove not Q. Okay, so this is something where I can prove Q and I can prove not Q. So this is the Q that I'm gonna choose. Does that make sense? So you play around with it until you figure out a way to do the proof, and what you're looking for is anything that you can prove both it and its opposite. Okay, so that's gonna be the structure. Okay, so now let's just try to combine these into a proof. Okay, so let's just try to talk through it here. So when I look through at my scratch work here, the ideas for a proof, what am I gonna assume? So when I start this proof, I'm going to usually assume that I have something, right? So what am I going to assume? Well, I go up here and it says I'm supposed to assume, here it is, that there's some A with 4 dividing this, and we're going to assume that for a contradiction, okay? And then I'm going to look for this Q and this not Q, and let's see. So this is something that I know, right? That 1 is not even. So I can just start by pointing that out, just to remind the audience of that, because I'm gonna end up needing it in the end. So this might be something that I would state right away. So maybe I'll start with that, okay? Just so that everyone knows, is reminded, I know that. And then I'll go up here and let's see, and then I'll choose my A, right? So there exists some A. And then let's see, then I'm gonna go through and and get my t. And let's see, in the end, I'm going to need that this is an integer, but I don't know that yet. So then I'll do this computation here, 3, right? And so I get down that it's even. What does cosine for? I should have had the same question. I'm not sure where I use code. Well, I don't know if anyone spots that, they can tell me. But yeah, so that, so then I'll oh, so, oh yeah, oh yeah, there are lots and lots of so's. So those are, yeah, that's it. Ah. Oh yeah, that's another so, it's just a harder to read one. Okay, all right, and so then I'm going to end up with this this s also. Well, now that I have the s and the t, then I can mention that this is an integer. So maybe I'll mention that next when I get the s. Okay. Okay, and now I have these two integers, and I can go down and get last that I have this q. So then I'll get q, and I already had not q, and then I have my contradiction. Okay, so that's going to be my plan for this structure. Okay, any questions about how I'm going to turn that into a proof? Okay, so let me just start then. Proof, and now it should be straightforward because I did all the work over there on the right. I just have to sort of combine things in the right order. So first I'm supposed to, note that 1 is not even. Two. Assume a is an integer. And 4 divides a squared, it's an a squared, minus 2. Okay. And so then my next one says, let's see. So then 3. So hence, well, I guess I'm still in 2. There is an integer t with 4t equals a squared minus 2. There's another hence. Okay, so we got here, and we want to get down to where s is even. A squared is even. Hence, a squared. So let me just do that all together. Is equal to 2 times 2t minus 1. Okay, and Yes. Let and assume are basically synonyms in this setup. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so. And now, see. Actually, maybe I should quote. Section 1.7, which you should read, of course. And that one is go over your proof. And the two things you should do are look, the three things are check for any extra things. So anything not needed. Make sure the order is optimal. And make sure you didn't miss anything. Why am I mentioning this now? Because I just realized that my order could have been cleaner. So let me fix up my order here. So I'm going to say right here that right before I need it. So let me change colors here. So 2t minus 1 is an integer. And why do I want that? Because I'm just about to use it right down here. Okay. And since we got this 2t minus 1, so 2a squared is even. And by claim 1, a is even. Okay. And so then I can stick in the new one. So hence, there's an integer. S with a equals 2s. And of course, since that's an integer, and I know that down over here, I'm going to need that this is an integer. Let me just mention it now. And s squared minus t is an integer. Okay, so now I've accumulated everything that I need, and I can go back to this part here and finish things up. So hence, 4t is equal to 2s squared minus 2. So 1 is equal to 2 times s squared minus 2 is even. Okay, and so this is what I wanted. So therefore, 1 is even and 1 is not even, which is a contradiction. QED. Okay, so I assumed the thing that I wanted to show was false and I got a contradiction. Okay. Any questions about the structure of such a proof or how to build one? So proof by contradiction is quite powerful. There are logicians who try hard to avoid it for their own reasons, but it is quite powerful. And it's also a little bit trickier than the others. And the main tricky bit is figuring out what it is, what the contradiction is you're going to find. Okay, so what is this Q and not Q that you're going to end up with? Okay.
Professor.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question about the third hence. Why do you need to define the S squared minus t is an integer because of the next step, right?
That's where I'm going to use it. That's right. And okay. Once again, I mean, the thing to remember is writing a proof is different from thinking it through. Because if I were thinking it through, there's no way that that's the next thing I would have thought of. I only put it in there because I noticed when I did my scratch work over here that I was going to need it later. And this is the most obvious place to write that it's an integer because I've just told you that S is an integer. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking. I was going through and that wasn't the next thing I thought about. So, setting up for the next.
That's right. It's planning ahead. And again, over here, this is basically the order that I think about things is when I write down my ideas. And then I reorder them a little bit. And write it this way so that the reader can read along and just follow each step, even if they don't know why I'm doing it, at least they can follow each step. Okay, other comments or questions about this one? Okay, then let me do one involving rational numbers. I kind of like to prove that root 2 is not rational. This was a big deal for the cult of the whole number, which was popular 2,500 years ago of Pythagoras. But let's see, but I want to prove something else along the way. So let me do another proof first, but that's kind of where this is heading. All right, so here's another, and I'm going to need one more definition. So definition. So far, we've been working with integers and real numbers. Let's add rational numbers. So say that, A is in Q, or A is rational. If it can be written as A as a P over Q. So there's a P, which is some integer, and a Q, which shouldn't be zero. Let's make it a natural number with A equals P over Q. Okay, so those are rational numbers. Okay, and what I want to do now is prove a claim about rational numbers. All right, so claim three here. Let's say that we have a rational number. It can be written in this rational form. So A equals P over Q with, as written above, P an integer and Q non-zero. Let's take a positive, so a natural number. But I want to add one more thing. The denominator Q is as small as possible. Let me get to the sentence structure right here. As small as possible. Where you got the verb? Okay. Then we have that they can't both be even. So either P is odd or Q is odd. Okay, so there's my claim. So as usual, and particularly with a long one like this, the first thing to do is to make sure you understand what you're doing by doing some examples. So let's just do that. So you understand it with some examples. So let me just try some examples. So if I write down my rational number, so let's say A is equal to a rational number, like say 24 over 132. Okay, so this is not—it's not true, right? That either one is odd, right? Neither one is odd; they're both even. Okay, so what's wrong? Well, I didn't write it in reduced terms, right? And so that's what this is saying here: the denominator is the smallest possible. It's not yet, right? So I can write it with a smaller denominator, right? So is that clear? So, so I can just clear that. So this is then what is it? I guess it's 12 over 66, and it's also, I guess, 2 over 11. Okay. So that's, and now I have written it with this one odd, so that fits my description. So I hope the statement is clear. So that's what I'm saying, is that once I do my reduction, at least one of the two is going to be odd, possibly both, but at least one will be odd, okay? Any questions about this statement? Again, that if you don't have the statement, it's really going to be hard to prove something.
So the claim says either P is odd or Q is odd,
mm-hmm.
But that doesn't imply that it can be both of them.
Very good point. Yes, it can be both of them. That is allowed. That is allowed. So this is not an exclusive or. This is the logical or.
Okay.
Yeah, so or both is allowed.
Okay.
I mean, they could both be prime
for example. So it's certainly possible for them both to be odd, but and my statement is still correct because that's allowed. Right. So that's right. So both, that's right. So let me just do a couple more examples just so that we're on the same page. So it could be, as you say, prime over prime, and that's as reduced as it gets. And again, in this case, both are odd, and my logical structure is meant to allow for that case. It could also be a 3/10, and this time just one of them is odd again. So those are all three cases are possible. What's not possible is that they're both even. That's all I'm eliminating, okay? Good, it's important to make sure that the statement is clear. Any other questions about the statement? Okay, so that's my statement. And then once we're done with the statement, first then we move on to the logic of the claim here. And so let's see, so this one's kind of complicated. So does anyone want to take a stab at what the logical structure is for this claim? At least bits of it. So do you see any hints as to what will tell us at least parts of the logical structure?
I guess we're looking at an implication statement.
Yes, I see an if, and way down here I see a then, right? So this is an if-then, exactly. So this is an implication, as you say. So there should be in here some implication. Okay, another thing to look for, and someone's, I see it in the chat now. That's looking a lot like the way I would phrase it. Uh-huh, that's right. And what about the quantifiers? I also like to throw in my quantifiers. So it's a for all in Q. Okay, so that's the quantifier one. So for all A in Q. Okay, and then the structure, I like the structure that's there in the chat. So we have, maybe I'll decorate this in red here. So this is my implication. Right, okay, and this is my for all A in Q, okay? And let's see. And then we have this whole thing could be my P, right? So then we have P down here. Okay, and so then we have the then, right? So there's my arrow. And then, yeah, someone's got it written out in more detail now in the chat. And so then I have an either or, right? So I should have an or. Okay, so I should end up with an or over here. And then I have P is odd and Q is odd. Mm-hmm. And it's a good question whether I should be throwing in quantifiers for my P and my Q or not. But anyway, let me just add those two things first. Okay, so then I have P implies Q or R. Right. It's a good question. So it's possible to pull P apart further. P is a clause, right? It's a perfectly good proposition. But it itself can be decomposed further. And that's sort of what you're doing when you start putting quantifiers into the P and the Q, because that's all internal to P. So P itself could be written in a more granular way with quantifiers in it. Yeah, smallest is actually a little bit tricky. And that's why I shoveled it all into one proposition P. Actually. Because you're right, smallest is a little bit tricky to write out. So not impossible. Okay, but that's the logical structure I think that I will use. Okay, but I want to, and again, so we could try to prove this directly. We could say that if we have this P, but now actually here's I think an important key to note. This P is kind of complicated, which we've just been discussing, right? Q and R, these are both are pretty simple, right? They just say that something is even or odd. So they're relatively simple propositions to work with. Typically, it's easier to make the simple ones your assumptions, okay? And then try to prove the more complicated one. That's typically the easier way to do it. How would I change this so that I had an equivalent formulation, but the things that I were assuming involved Q and R, and what I was trying to prove involved the P?
You would just rewrite it as the contrapositive?
Exactly, right? So does that make sense, everyone? So so that's actually what I'm gonna do. So for the contrapositive, which says that for all A and Q, so that stays the same. And then the contrapositive. So the contrapositive is gonna be the not, and what is that? So I'm gonna run my not through, so I have not Q, and now I use De Morgan's, well, maybe I'll put it all together and then I'll do a separate step with De Morgan's law. So so not the right-hand side implies not the left-hand side, right? That's the contrapositive, or equivalently, leaving my quantifier alone. When I use De Morgan's law, I run that not through there and I get not Q and a not R. Those don't look pretty good. There we go. Implies the not P. Okay, so that's another way to write the logic. And that's the logical form that I think is the easiest to work with.
Professor?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when we do contrapositives, we don't change the quantifiers.
That's right.
Because they're equivalent.
That's right, exactly. Because the two things inside here are equivalent just by themselves. These are equivalent. Okay, and so then we can start running through the ideas here of this proof. All right, so I left out the step, assumptions. Okay, so the assumptions. So we have right here, so we will assume, so not Q is that Q is that P is even. And not R, or in other words, Q is even. And let's just write that out. So P is equal to 2S, and Q is equal to 2 times what? Oops, that's a 2. Okay, yeah, anything other than S. It's just not an S, right? Anything except S. Just don't put an S there. Okay, so this is like K was suggested. I'll use K, all right? So 2K. All right, so then, right, so those are our assumptions. And then we're gonna try to prove this not P. And so the conclusion is that, not P, or in other words, that Q was not the smallest possible denominator. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do. All right, and so then we have to just run through our ideas. Okay, and by this point, we're kind of getting along into understanding the problem by running through all these steps. And so we can start trying to do things. And what can we do? Well, we've already got this stuff written out here, so we can try to use that. So so idea, let's just start with what we have. So we have that A was equal to this sub T over Q, but we already have a way of rewriting P over Q. It's 2S over 2K. Not wrong. And so that's the same as S over K. And did we win? Does that do what we wanted?
Not really, because S over K is the same as P over Q, so.
Right. S over K is the same as P over Q. But remember what we're trying to do here. We're trying to show that Q is not the smallest denominator.
So I noticed that in the original implication that I wrote, it's is Q is less than R, where R is another possible natural denominator. So if you reverse that, really all you need to show then is that P being even and Q being even implies that Q is larger than any other R. Would you negate that, if you catch my drift?
Uh-huh. And when so we found one. Sense,
we already did that.
Yeah, right here. Right, because that's a denominator now, which is smaller than Q, right? Because it's half of Q. So we've written it as a smaller yeah. denominator. So right, so that's kind of what you're saying, right? So K is less than Q, and hence a smaller denominator. So, not P. Okay, so Q was not the smallest denominator. I found a smaller one, right? So if we go back to our example over here, where we divided top and bottom by two, 132 was not the smallest denominator, because that's smaller. Yeah, we tricked our way around the recursion. That's right. That's the beauty of this. Yeah. So that's what we did. We did exactly this step, right? We made it. We wrote, as you say, the same number. This is A. It's 2/11, and there are two different ways to write it. But the denominator that we used was smaller than Q. Okay, so that's the logic. Okay, so let's try to turn this into a proof. Okay, so now that we've got all the everything written out, and okay, so we can go over and start trying to figure out what we have to do first. So we have to write down our assumptions, right? So that's typically the first thing to do. So except in the example last time, but here we're gonna start with our assumptions and then we're gonna do this down here and then we're gonna end up with that. So in the end, the proof's actually pretty short once we figured out what it is we wanna do. All right, so let's just do it. So for proof, assume that, and again, let's see. So if we go back to our logic, we're assuming this contrapositive here, right? So assume that A is equal to P over Q with P and Q both even. Integers. Okay. All right. And hence, are there integers S and K with P equals 2S? And Q equals 2K. So A is equal to P over Q is equal to 2S over 2K is equal to S over K. And hence, therefore, Q is not the smallest possible denominator. QED. Okay, so once again, the tricky part is figuring out the logic and everything, but once you do, then the proof itself is short. That's right, yes, that's right. Okay, any questions about that one? So I claim that this is the key to proving that, let me just write down the following theorem that you can try to think through and I'll prove it on Wednesday, but theorem, Pythagoreans, around 230 BC. And exactly which one is not clear because there are rumors that they murdered people who figured it out because they were actually very unhappy about this theorem. But it turns out to be true. And that is that the square root of 2 is not rational. Okay, or in other words, and you can try to think through why the lemma we just proved, the claim we just proved is useful in proving that, and I will do that on Wednesday. But I just have 3 minutes, so let me do an easier theorem, which is claim, which is also illustrates the other type of quantifier, which we haven't done yet. So let me do the following claim. Oh, before I do that, I hope it's clear what I mean here, right? So like root 2 is different from any rational number, like for example, 7/5, right? 7/5 is pretty close to root 2, but it's not equal to it. So they're not equal. Okay, anyway, so the claim here that I want to do last, I guess this is claim 4. So there exists, so this is instead of for all, I want to, there exists, I'll write it out in words and then we'll figure out the logic. So there is an integer. N with n squared plus 15 less than 8n. Okay, so let's just go through our steps quickly. So we want to understand it. So e.g. 1 squared plus 15 is equal to 16. 8 times 1 is equal to 8. And 16 is, it's not less than 8. So it didn't work, but why is that not a problem?
Because there just exists one.
That's right. It's existential and it would have been wrong. Okay, so, but we need to find one. So maybe some other number. Okay, but I think I understand what I'm doing now. So then I can move on and look at the logic. So what's the logic? So here, actually, very little time, but as we just mentioned, this is an existential quantifier, right? So this is, there exists X at N in Z, and then my formula here. So N squared plus 15 is less than 8N, right? So that's the logic. Okay, and so then if I want to look at the assumptions, there really aren't any assumptions. And then I want the conclusion is that n squared plus 15 is less than 8n. So how do I go about proving this? What do I have to do to prove this? That's right, that's the first thing to do. So idea, I'm gonna take n squared plus 15 minus 8n is less than zero. That's right, that's gonna be my first thing. And then what do I do to the left-hand side? Right, and I factor it just as done there in the chat box. Okay, and how could I find an integer that has that property? What do I need for those two factors to get something less than zero? Exactly, we need different signs. N minus 5 and N minus 3 to have different signs. So which n is going to work? Exactly. 4, right? Because then 1 is positive, 1 is negative. So let me write out the proof now. Proof. Take n equals 4, hence n squared plus 15 is equal to 31, and 8n is equal to 32, which is bigger than 31. Q, E, D. Okay, so that's it. That's all I have to do. All the work was over here thinking about how do I find that number 4. But to prove something where I have just an existential quantifier here, there is, I just have to write one down. I have to tell you what it is. There's kind of a famous math talk someone gave about factoring numbers. And his entire talk was, he wrote down a big number on the board and wrote down 2 numbers whose product was at it, and that was it. Because it had been a longstanding problem to try to factor that number. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Let me stop the, check the number. All right, so that's it.